good cross. I'll be in the pulpit mic tonight, gentlemen. Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. Matthew chapter number 6. And what a great day in the Lord today. Two great Sundays here. Great weeks, folks coming to Christ during the week. And thank you, church, for being faithful as a witness. Let me challenge you, stay involved, get your soul winning time. And just, I think, just about every day there's a time you could go. Not every day, but just about, there's a group that goes out. And so if you want to be a witness for Christ and an opportunity to learn how to share Christ, you can. And let's just keep loving people and be faithful to be a witness. Amen. We don't have to win anybody. We don't win anybody. Amen. We never saved a soul. Sometimes people get saved, they don't know the lingo. They say, yeah, brother so-and-so saved me. We know Christ saves. Amen. We just tell about it. And it's a joy and a privilege to be his representatives. Matthew 6, familiar passage here. Matthew 6, if you would turn over there. We're going to start tonight in verse number 24 and read down through the end of the chapter. Several verses tonight. I'd like you to stand out of respect for God's word as we read this passage together. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 24 through 34. I'll begin myself on verse 24. And why don't you join me on the odd numbered verses. Verse 25, and join me again on 27 and so forth. I'm beginning in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And ending together on verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The phrase that begins verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. We find similar in verse number 31, the phrase, therefore, take no thought. And we find it again in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I want to speak to you tonight, I think briefly, on the subject, treatment for troubled minds. Treatment for troubled minds. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, let me communicate, Lord, some simple and yet profound truths. And I pray, Lord, that it would bring comfort, encouragement and help to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For generations now, by and large, America's been rearing her children in a godless environment. Some of you remember your school teacher had a paddle on her desk. Had a paddle on his desk and used it. The principal walked in the hall with one. And you remember that everyone stood, put hand over heart to pledge allegiance to the flag. And you remember the teacher opened the Word of God and read. We've had members here in the past who were led to Christ by their teacher in the public system, public school system. Read the Bible was read and prayer was given. The teacher led the prayer and the class joined in a time of prayer. But Madeline Murray O'Hara fixed that with her lawsuit, and the Bible was kicked out and prayer was kicked out. She died an awful death, murdered, dismembered. Horrific death she died. Her son, after her death, became a Christian and talked about what life was like, what a godless woman she was, how she was addicted to depraved things. I'll leave it at that. And how life was a hell on earth for him growing up. Can I tell you something? A life without God is not a happy life. And we had problems back in the 1950s with going behind the building, smoke a cigarette, chewing gum in class, talking in class, ditching school. But we didn't have problems like we do today with massacres and gang fights and drug sales. That's where we're at today. America needs God. Our country needs the Lord. Now, this is a statement of fact. The segment of our society now that's most likely to either attempt to take their life or successful at taking their life are those who have rejected God's divine plan for them in the simple matter of either being male or female. And when they reject the creativity of God and His loving kindness, who made them a male or a female, and believe the lies that you can somehow by a figment of your imagination decide that you are something that you're not, thereby defying God, defying God's beautiful plan for your life, they become twisted and dissatisfied. And by the way, if you teach a kid that he came from a monkey, it's not really a great stretch to go beyond that as we see today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And listen to me, young people, old people alike, you're not a fancy piece of cosmic dust that exploded. No, sir, you are made in the image of the living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have a body, soul, and spirit, and you are capable of moral choices. You have a soul that can feel as no animal can feel, as no plant can feel, as no tree can feel. You have a spirit that can commune with God, and you can worship God in spirit and in truth like no animal, like no plant can. You and I are God's crown jewel of His creation, made in the image of God, and God didn't make a mistake when He made you. Don't you ever let society tell you God made a mistake when He made you. The voices, there's a name for them now. Detransitioners are silenced in the media. Their voices are being muffled on social media by Antichrist globalists, Marxists who want to one world everything. But the most unhappy by the statistics, by the numbers, by the facts, the most unhappy and the most likely to take their own life are those who reject God's beautiful creativity for their lives and try to quote-unquote change their gender. I say that not to shame. I say that not to ridicule. I say that with a heavy heart. We ought to grieve over the children that are being manipulated. And by the way, kids, listen to me. Instead of mocking and making fun, you ought to grieve and pray and show loving kindness and patience and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of those port cities in the New Testament where there's no new thing under the sun. Some of those port cities where the Apostle Paul went and started churches were just rife with the depravity that we have in our country today. But the grace of God can save a soul and change a life. Amen. 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 Yes, He can. And so today there are many a troubled mind. Many a troubled mind. But God gives us some very practical things in this text that will treat a troubled mind. May I just read this passage with you again, verse by verse, and point out some lessons for us tonight. The Bible says in verse 24 that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Bible word for money. Now look at this. This is something else. I have a $20 bill in my wallet. It doesn't stay there long, I can tell you that. So this is really a big deal. That when the Bible talks about mammon, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Mr. Jackson there. He's talking about the greenbacks. He's talking about money, gold, silver. He's talking about money. And God said this, you cannot serve God and mammon. Do you know a lot of people are troubled over that right there? As I have counseled a lot of marriages, I guess into the hundreds probably, of folks that are having problems in their marriage. And I was told this by other pastors, and I've experienced it now, that the thing that brings the most pressure on a marriage is that right there. Money problems. Man, when there's more month at the end of the money, it puts pressure on everybody, doesn't it? And so a lot of people are troubled. There's plenty of numbers that are being manipulated to try to pretend that the economy is better than it is. But if the whole thing crashes tomorrow, I have a promise that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And having food and raiment, that let us therewith be content. We might wind up with just about food and clothes, and that's it. But if we do, God said we have enough to be grateful for. Amen? We have enough to be thankful for. And so here's a little lesson for us. Don't let money run your life. Don't let money run your life. May I say to the young people, and I heard Brother Eddie Lupina say it this way. I think first time I ever heard it said exactly like this. But he said to our young adults several years ago, he said, young people, he said, don't build the church around your life. Build your life around the local church. Amen. That's pretty good advice. Right. Numbers of young men have come to me over the years and said, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I said, you know, that's honorable. That life path, that life choice, that vocation would be an honorable vocation. But do you ever think that you have a hard time keeping your family in church faithfully if you chose that? And young men, listen, Lemuel's mother, I think that was Bathsheba and Solomon, is who's spoken of in Proverbs 31. She said this, she said, son, it's just some things kings don't do. It is not for kings. Now, some people twist that and think that everybody else can get drunk if they want to. That's nonsense. But anyway, she said, son, you're a king, and kings don't do that. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the king of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the king. Amen. It's just some things that I don't do. I'm a child of the king. Amen. I'm royalty, the Bible said. I read it again this week. We are kings and priests. Amen. We're royalty. There's some things that we don't do. And so, one of the things we don't do, we don't let money run our life. You say, Pastor, no problem with that. I don't have any money to run my life. And God is saying this. He's saying, serve God and make money your servant. Serve God and make money your servant. Don't let money run you. You run money. You know, don't let money dictate your life. You, it's a tool. It's a good tool to be used to help others, to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, to be a blessing, to meet the needs of your family. You find it all throughout the Bible. Some of the most godly men were fantastically wealthy. Some of the most godly men were completely impoverished. Being rich or being poor, is it spiritual or unspiritual? It's your attitude toward money and how you see money and your relationship to it. It is to be a servant, to be used for the glory of God, and to be a blessing to your fellow man. Now let me tell you something. Don't you stretch yourself out and buy a bunch of stuff with money you don't have to please people that you don't like, that'll stack up that you don't know what to do with it, and get yourself in a fix and become a servant to money. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of people are troubled in their mind because of financial reasons. And let me say this. You don't get into mess most time. Now you can. If you can get in a mess overnight, but most people get in a mess one step at a time. You say, Pastor, how do I get out of this mess? One step at a time. That's good. One step at a time. I put it up on the back of my door. As I did the last couple of years, I've done this. I look at it several times a week and whisper a prayer to the Lord. God bless those precious folks right there who said, I've never tied before in my life, but by God's grace, I'm going to. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. Now you say, I made that decision and I still have debts. Yes, you do. But you know what? You get out of the mess the same way you got in the mess, one step at a time. Amen? One step at a time. We continue on in verse number 25. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat. Now that seems interesting. I mean, how many of you think that eating is a fairly important thing to do? It's a fairly important thing to do. And now we probably could do less eating. Most of us could do less eating. In fact, some of us could live a long time on what we've already eaten. But eating isn't, I would consider it essential for life, right? You can't stop eating indefinitely. But God said here, this is the Lord Jesus. This is scripture. That's not pastor talking. This is the Lord Jesus. It's not a psychiatrist talking. This is not an author talking. This is the Lord Jesus said. He said, take no thought for your life what you shall eat. Now, here's what he's saying. He said, don't fret over even the basic necessities of life. Amen. Or what ye shall drink. Listen, you can go a lot of days without food, but you can only go so many days without water and only minutes without oxygen. But he said, take no thought. Now, he was not being cavalier, so don't worry about it. Don't think about it. But I think what God is trying to say is, these things that are temporary. You know what happened to the sandwich after, well, y'all know what happens to the sandwich after you eat it. It doesn't last. Take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. The end of the verse calls it raiment. Talking about your clothes. Now here's a lesson. There's more to life than the temporal. T-E-M-P-O-R-A-L. It's another word for the temporary. There's more to life than food. There's more to life than drink. There's more to life than clothing. There are things eternal. There are things that are more important than what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? He says in verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. I like the birds here at springtime, don't you? Ah, the sounds of spring are coming on strong. And you look at them. They don't have a garden. They don't have a crop. They sow not, neither do they reap. They don't have any barns. They don't have any bank accounts. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You ever see a red bird in the snow? There's a few things any more beautiful than a red bird sitting on a branch. Everything's covered in white. And there's that bright red spot. And you can't see much of anything else. But that little bird, he'll find something to eat now, won't he? He'll find something to eat. And by the way, he'll find a place to put his net on the ferns on the front porch where you don't want it. That's where he'll find a place. I think they send out signals or something every year. Anyway, I'm not bitter about that. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And then he says, verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? A cubit, look at me, is this distance right here from here to there? We could say about 18 inches, and there's different royal cubit and different things like that. But anyway, approximately 18 inches, about the distance from here to here. Now, how many of you, now let's be honest about this, all right? And we're not going to judge you. We'll talk about you behind your back, but we're not going to openly judge you. But how many of you say, Pastor, when I was younger, I wanted to be taller? Come on now. All right, I did. How many say I wanted to be shorter? All right. He said, what do you think about that? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Nobody. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Brother Greg took us over to Lexington, and we took, I think, 17 young people, visited the college campus over there in Lexington, Commonwealth Baptist College. And we just kept saying over and over again on the way home, the red buds were just in full bloom. Are they not gorgeous? Don't you love the red buds, but they're purple. The purple flowers on the red buds. But along the highway coming across 40, Greg, where were we? 40, I think it was, or 81. Anyway, this line, the highway just lined with them. And just beautiful. Just beautiful. Can I tell you something? You'll never find an outfit like a daffodil, like a buttercup, like a rhododendron. You just won't. I mean, God does a better job of dressing up his creation than you and I could ever find to dress up from Dillard's or Kohl's or Marshall's or Marshall's or Marshall's. Anyway, I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. Anyway, he does a good job at it. Amen. And God said, you know, if I can beautify and feed the birds, if I can beautify my creation, don't you think I could take care of you? Here's a lesson. Temporal cares are really senseless. Temporary cares really are senseless. Do you know what worry does? Somebody said worry is like a rocket chair. It takes a lot of energy and gets you nowhere. Can I tell you something? You know what worry does? You know what anxiety does? It saps our mental energies. It saps our emotional energies. And not far behind that, when your mind gets consumed and your emotions get all bent out of shape, it saps your physical energies. It's absolutely, it's biblical, but it is also physiologically proven and observed that the man that worries, the man that's eat up with fear, the man that's eat up with anxiety is destroying his own physical health. It saps our spiritual energy with no benefit gained. Now verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles, he said, man, the unsaved world, they clamor after that. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If I read this passage right, worry is wrong. Hold your horses. Anxiety is sinful. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. Full of care. Now let me give you the treatment for the troubled mind. You ready? Number one, grow your faith. Circle the word faith at the end of verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The problem at hand, the Lord Jesus points out, is little faith. Little faith. Hey, You want a cure for worry? You want treatment for a troubled mind? Then grow your faith. Grow your faith. Now listen, listen. I'm not trying to be unkind, but here's what it's going to mean for you. It's going to mean you have to start showing up all the time. It means you're going to have to start rearranging your life and build your life around the things of God rather than fit the things of God into your life. Amen. Man came to me years ago. He said, Pastor, he said, we won't be at church on Wednesday nights. And I know I'm a Sunday school teacher, but we won't be a teacher meeting. We won't be in church on Wednesday night for the next 8 weeks because my boys signed up for football. And I told my boys, now boys, if you sign up for football, you're going to be, we keep our word. We keep our commitments. And he's saying this out loud. I'm thinking to myself, you're saying this out loud? And so we won't be here. We won't be here because I told my boys they're going to keep their commitments. Now let me tell you something, what that 8 weeks turned into. It turned into 8+ years of being out of church altogether. Now I'm not against football. I'm against badminton, but I'm not against football. I'm not against that. But I am against taking that which is the most important and making it subservient to what the world says is important. Now you build your life around the things that matter. You build your life around the things that are eternal. What are you going to miss? What are your children going to miss in a service? Let me tell you something. You kids, you get this down right now and never reconsider it for the rest of your life. I remember, listen, I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be in church. When I was in school, I wanted to be in church. When I went to Bible college, I wanted to be in church. I had to work some. And I'd take a change of clothes, and I'd get off work, and I'd change my clothes and come in church, and I'd come in sometimes 30 minutes late, 40 minutes late, but I wanted to get there. I wanted to be there, and if it was possible I could be there, I was going to be there. Amen. That ought to be our mindset. That ought to be our mindset. Grow your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible said, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. He said, Hebrews 10, he said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you understand that Christ is coming soon? Amen. That means we don't need less church, we need more church. We don't need less Sunday school, we need more Sunday school. We don't need less Bible study, we need more Bible study. We don't need less preaching, we need more preaching. So much the more as you see the day approaching. So, grow your faith. Get in the Word. Don't raise your hand. Did you read your Bible today? Did you read your Bible yesterday? Have you been in the Word this week? Listen, if your faith is weak, you are an easy target for the devil. Peter wrote, he said, the old devil's like a roaring lion who walketh about seeking what? Whom he may devour. Listen, you know, he wants to pick off the easy ones. That's what he does. And if your faith is weak, he's coming after you. Look what else he said, verse 31. We said you want a treatment for your troubled mind? Grow your faith. Number two, trust your Father. Trust your Father. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Hey, you want some treatment for that troubled mind? Trust your Father. Do you know your Father loves you? Do you know your Father cares for you? Do you know your Father who sees the sparrow, one sparrow that falls? The Father who feeds the little birds, the Father who clothes the grass of the field, the flowers, that Father will feed you. That Father that loves you and proved His love when He gave His Son will clothe you, will meet your needs. He's a loving Heavenly Father. Trust your Father. Trust your Father. Don't take the matter into your own hands and say, how many times have I heard, well, Pastor, I would like to, but. Well, if you'd like to be faithful, then be faithful. If you'd like to be a giver, then be a giver. If you'd like to be a soul winner, then be a soul winner. And believe that the God of heaven, who supplies the power and the energy and the wisdom and knowledge and understanding for other believers to be obedient, will do the same thing for you if you'll just decide to be obedient. Trust your Father. He's a loving, caring Father. He loves His children. He cares for His children. He protects His children, just like you, Dad, would for your own children. How many minds are troubled because they take into their own care and their own custody that which they ought to just take and give to the Father. He's got big old shoulders. He's got lots of money, and he's real smart. And he can take care of that. And then verse 33, the wonderful, wonderful priority passage, but seek you first. Number three, you want treatment for that troubled mind? Grow your faith. Number two, trust your Father. Number three, put him first. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things are we talking about? What you're going to wear? What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? I'm talking about the basic necessities of life. God said, I know you need those things. I'm going to take care of those things. Put me first. Put God first and trust him with the rest. And this verse says that he will meet our needs. Some of you have experienced that. Many of you, most of you, have experienced that firsthand in your life. Will you rearrange your priorities? Listen, do you know what priorities are? Your priorities are not what you say is important. Your priorities are determined by how you use your resources. You go to some guy's house, he lives in a shack. The window panes are broken. The front door's hanging off the hinges. There's a blue tarp over the roof because the shingles are blown off and the roof's leaking. But in the driveway is a 19-something, another. It's a classic super-duper. A lot of bing-bangers under the hood. A lot of shiny this and a lot of shiny that. Several layers of paint, pearlized. Guess what his priority is? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be, the Bible says. And so put the Lord first. And then finally, in verse 34, that little phrase, we find three times in this passage, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God said, don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? God said, that'll take care of itself. There's plenty of things to worry about on that day. Just wait till it gets here. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. 1978, a little kid got caught in a tornado slide. We had a J.C. Park in Hickory where I grew up and loved to go up and down the tornado slide. And a little kid stumbled or something at the top and got his head caught and he fell and he had some brain damage. And in the subsequent years that followed, the family found an attorney and they end up suing the city and they end up suing the manufacturer. And that sparked, you know, attorneys seem to like find segments of society where they realize they can suck dollars out of them and all of a sudden they got billboards for it and everybody's got this problem now, you know. Do you blink too much? You might have, call 1-800, I care about you, help me make my BMW payment. I mean, some attorney's going to come. And you know what happened over the next several years? There was a philosophical shift in our country because of attorneys and lawsuits, and all over the country, hundreds and hundreds of city parks and people who make playground equipment, all these things. And so then it got to the lawmakers and people began to document all the terrible things that happened. And, is it not possible that a kid could go and swing on a swing and jump off of it and then it come and hit him in the head? Yeah, that's possible. Are we supposed to outlaw all swings now? I mean, we've got, now forgive me, I'm going to offend somebody sure as the world right now. Please, I'm going to offend somebody. But listen, if you bubble wrap your kid every time he walks out of the house, he's not going to die by bumping his noggin. He's going to suffocate to death. We have, and listen, our children, this is not just the Baptist preacher talking right now, but the world. The psychologists of the world, the psychiatrists of the world study this matter. Something is happening to the youth of America. Something is happening to their personalities. How many children ought to be carefree and running and jumping and going down tornado slides are withdrawing into a world filled with fear and anxiety scared to death to go on a public playground. They might have to speak to somebody. Listen to me carefully. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me give you the last thought. Here's some treatment for a troubled mind. Number four, face your fears. The Bible tells us very clearly in Philippians 4 how to do that. He says, be careful for nothing, full of care for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, guard your hearts, that's your emotional well-being, and your minds, that's your mental well-being. The world talks about mental health. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Every time a tragedy takes place and a school gets shot up. By the way, if you want to know why the schools are getting shot up, it's because it's a safe zone. This is a safe zone. No weapons here. You're safe here. Translation, you're sitting ducks here. That's how twisted the liberal, leftist, Marxist, Antichrist mindset is. But if you'll study this matter, here's what you'll find out. Every time some horrible tragedy happens, someone goes to school, shoots it up, what's the first thing that happens? Within 30 minutes, some Marxist-minded liberal politician is standing up behind a microphone talking about those dastardly guns, especially the ones that look scary. The assault weapons. They look scary. Even though they're not half as dangerous as the nice looking ones. Stay with me now. And so, what do? We start blaming all kind of things. It's the stock. It's the, Magazine. It's the scariness of the gun. Let me tell you something. To whatever degree I'm overweight, it's not the spoon's fault. Okay? But let me tell you something. Listen carefully. I'm almost done. Listen carefully. There are two things that are predominant. And there's a third one developing, by the way. But the two that are predominant in these horrific school shootings that have almost become commonplace in our country. There are two things. Number one, the absence of a father. And number two, what the world calls mental health issues, which is the absence of the joy of the Lord in a person's life. And by the way, there's a third one coming on that nobody wants to talk about, and that is more and more a greater percentage of people who have rejected God's creativity in their lives. The same thing that causes them to be unhappy with themselves and want to commit suicide and cause them to go into schools and shoot them up. Now, let me tell you something. Mental health, the absence of father, the answer to these things is a return to the biblical family, a return to biblical truth, the knowledge of Jesus Christ and salvation and the presence of God's Spirit in your life. That doesn't make you hate yourself, but realize that you are made in the image of God and God makes no mistakes. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a man. I'm so glad I'm a man. Now, I use a little hairspray. I'll be honest with you, I do. But I can get my head wet, comb through it about four times. I can do it without a mirror. Then spray it one time. Come back 5 minutes later and go, and I'm ready to go out the door. Somebody say amen. I have lived with women my whole married life. I've lived in a girl's dormitory. Listen, you walk in the bathroom and there in Brother Mary, you bear duck. All kind of stuff is flying. Breathe it in. I'm glad I'm a man. Hit man. 5 minutes in front of the mirror. That includes clipping my nails and toenails. I can get her done. Now listen, if you're a man, you thank God you're a man. Amen. Throw your skinny jeans away. Take your little white belt back. Take your flowery shirts back. And you girls. You're the crown jewel of God's creation. You don't want to be a man. Men stink. They're not going to change. Just, can I get a witness there? Mark it down. They just are what they are. They're what God made them to be. Amen. Some of you guys are like, praise God. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? God knows what he's doing. So let's love him and let's trust him. And when you start having a care, I like Dr. Wilkerson, I heard him say this, turn that care into a prayer. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's Philippians 4. Treatment for troubled minds. Father, bless the invitation now.